Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Show your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? What's the matter?
I'm mildly uncomfortable.
Why?
Because I have not spoken a word to Buckley today, and the first thing I heard when I put in my headphones is, you're going to make me download that pedophile song. And quite frankly, I don't know what.
Well, it's Michael Jackson.
Oh, all right. That's a little.
Now, hold on. The other shows keep putting a chair in front of you guys' cameras. Hold on.
Oh.
Okay.
I thought there was a song about pedophilia, and I'm like, why are we down? Like, I had no context to any of that, but it just was shocking to hear from Buck, and that was the first thing he said. And I was like, this is a hell of a start.
By the way, Buck, that's me doing that.
Well, I am going to stop doing that.
You put the chair in front of the camera.
Well, yeah, I hate it because they always put it right over here by me. I'm like, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. Let's put it where it belongs. But yeah, apparently it covers the camera there, for YouTube. Mm-hmm. Sorry, YouTube bros.
And coin. Don't forget the coin bros.
Oh, yeah. They use the same cams.
It's all the same. Well, you think we have extra cameras? You think there's YouTube cameras and then CW cameras?
Yeah, I do.
No.
Am I wrong?
Oh, country mouse. No. Just be happy we have a camera. Actually, look, there's two right there.
Anyway, what's going on? How's everybody doing?
Nothing besides the weird pedophilia song. Other than that, it's a great day out.
Hey, look, it's not a weird song, okay? Michael Jackson was a pedophile, but he had some great music.
He did.
And one song that we're going to play in particular is poignant today.
All right. Yeah, someone the other day, I don't remember if it was Danny and Dusty or if it was the morning show, it was Dirt and Sprague. Someone asked, is there one, like, I don't remember if it was like movie or song, or is there an artist that you just, you put aside the creepy factor? And like Kevin, like, do you still like Mel Gibson movies or Kevin Spacey movies? And I think for me, it'd probably be Michael Jackson. Because look, Michael Jackson's problematic. Like, seriously problematic.
Well, he was.
He was.
He's now dead.
I don't think he's anymore. I don't know. Can you molest in the afterlife? I don't know how all that works. According to Tucker Carlson, you can't. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, when Michael Jackson comes on, it's hard for me to turn it off. Oh. I love Michael Jackson. I don't like what Michael Jackson did. I kind of feel bad for him, the way he was raised. And pedophilia is one of those things that's hard to like kind of justify, but he made Thriller.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you listen to it and you go,
but he made Thriller. So yeah, sure. Pedophilia. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, come on.
But that's how it sounds.
You can still listen to the guy's music. Yeah. It's weird.
But that doesn't apply across the board. People won't watch Kevin Spacey stuff.
That's fine.
Listen to Kanye music.
People can do whatever they want. But let me tell you guys something right here, right now. Okay?
Right up in here. Files music.
Not up in here. I'm going to spin this
Main
and
justice.
Say that, don't you think that it's better that we listen to Michael Jackson music because he, at least as horrible as he was, yeah. he did contribute to society. So if we spin this, we can say, well, it's best if we just at least get some joy out of listening.
That spin. I love it.
To his music because yeah. his music was great.
Otherwise, it's just all a tragedy.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And yeah, I like where we're going with this. Exactly. This is a real Mr. Brightside sort of angle. Yeah.
It'd be like if Charles Manson was a great artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't display his works in my home.
But you could appreciate it.
But boy, if I saw one, I'd be like, you know, I'm going to.
Yeah, what if like someone like invents cold fusion, but then we find out they're a mass murderer?
Well, there you go.
You know, it's one of those things.
It's complicated out
there. It is complicated. Well, and that's the thing is like.
Sports people do this all the time.
Oh.
With these horrible guys that are out there
100%.
On the field. Deshaun Watson, anyone?
Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, for God's sakes?
It's some mental gymnastics, but...
And look, I've always said I don't have or claim to have the steadiest hand when it comes to the moral line that I have to draw. But I will say this. There are some that I find it easier to rebuke than others. Like Kevin Spacey, I love The Usual Suspects. Kevin Spacey's in some good movies. When I see Kevin Spacey, it just gives me an oogie feeling and I don't watch. Like American Beauty came on the other day. I love American Beauty.
Well, he's creepy in that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a creepy pedophile in that. It's just that he's creepy towards girls and not boys, but it's still a pedophile thing. So I just, when Kevin Spacey comes on, I'm like, I can't do this. Kanye West, same thing. I'm like, dude, that dude's a Nazi. F that guy. R. Kelly, I don't have a problem with. But
the Thriller hits, and you're like, sure.
Dude, 100%.
That's your age.
It just thrill. Like,
if you grew up with Kanye,
then it would be different.
Like, come on. Yes.
Yeah.
Some of that music is iconic.
My mom made me a Michael Jackson glove, and my fat little, like, 7-year-old, 6-year-old self was driving around on a big wheel.
Tell you
in
what.
My Michael Jackson.
That's love.
It was love.
Was it bedazzled?
Yeah, she like did the rhinestone thing and made me a Michael Jackson glove. Except I didn't have the big wheel. I had the green machine. I wanted the Rambo cycle, but my mom wouldn't get it for me. It's disappointing.
Yeah, we're getting some texts of people that still listen to Diddy.
Yeah, I can't. You know, and you know, can I be honest about the
pretty
other one?
Pretty much
who
the
might
same thing. Maybe
be
worse.
The worst of these people that I still struggle with. And I hate this man. He is a horrid human being.
Who's that?
Mel Gibson.
Oh.
I like Braveheart.
Great movie.
I like Lethal Weapon.
That's a great example. Like, dude,
separate the art from
yes,
the artist.
Separate come on, Braveheart is greatness.
I
period.
Know, I know,
end
but,
of story.
I know, but it's
you can still watch it.
Mel Gibson's problematic for me. If Mel Gibson made slightly worse movies, like because I love some of Mel Gibson's movies, like a lot of them. I think he's an amazing director. I think he's a really good actor. I'm going to try to, like, if I bumped him down a notch, I'm trying to think of someone that I like, but not as much as the best example is Kevin Spacey. I like Kevin Spacey, not like I like Mel Gibson. I have no problem not watching Kevin Spacey movies, but when Apocalypto comes on, I'm like, I'm going to have to give this a whirl. When We Were Soldiers comes on, I'm like, hell, this anti-Semitic bastard. I'm like, yeah, but he makes a good movie. It's tough. It's tough for me. And I don't
know. For everyone out there.
And I don't know why I do one versus the other. Like you said, it's probably an age thing, but he made Thriller.
Michael Jackson was greatness.
Yes.
Period.
I went down a rabbit hole the other day because when Halloween hit, in New York, they did a Thriller flash mob. Like 2,000 people got together and they did the Thriller dance. And I'll stand by this statement. That's the greatest dance of all time. The Thriller dance sequence, the big one, where he's doing the little werewolf arms. I'm sorry. It's amazing. And then that led me down in the whole Michael Jackson rabbit hole. I spent like 2 hours that night watching Michael Jackson YouTube videos. And like twice I thought to myself, yeah, I know. He's got an alarm on his door and the hot milk and cookies thing still to this day makes my skin crawl, but damn it, Smooth Criminal.
I mean,
is
the
amazing.
Fact that you still hold like the Paterno stuff against the young football players at Penn State currently.
I can't. I actively root against Penn State whenever I can.
You know, we have a
gross.
That makes me want to vomit. But if you turned on Smooth Criminal right now, I'd be like, yeah. Annie, are you okay? I don't know.
Annie, are you okay?
That's a great song.
Are you okay?
Well, I'm waiting.
Go back and watch the Motown where he did the Motown anniversary where he did Billie Jean and did the moonwalk for the first time. Oh.
Yeah.
Dude, I
Yeah.
It's good. I was going to say special. Something, but I stopped. I stopped.
It's special. Look.
I'd have a moment with Michael. God, that was good.
We're waiting for hot Michael Jackson music.
Yeah, it's going to be about 2 more minutes.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're in radio, and we have like 6 FM radio stations over here.
But I can tell you,
genres,
this
and
song.
We cannot and it takes us 10 minutes to get a damn song.
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me?
I don't know. What do you want from me, man? All I'm thinking about right now is Michael Jackson. And for the person on the Vancouver Ford text line saying, all I can picture is Souk and a Michael Jackson glove and Bugle Boy jeans, you've lost some respect, then welcome to 1986. Hello.
No, that probably made you the cool kid back then.
Dude, Bugle Boy jeans and a Michael Jackson glove, you know what's up. That's how we did it. That's how we did it back then. And don't act like when you were a kid, you didn't have something horrible.
Hammer pants?
There you go. I never hammer pants, but I bugle boyed the hell out of some things.
I went to the fabric store with my mom and picked out the fabric I wanted for my hammer pants that she sewed.
Tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone had them. Everyone had something. You crisscrossed or hypercolored or, you know, you did something. Don't judge me in my bugle boy jeans. And let me tell you, that Michael Jackson glove was the envy of every first grader at Riverview Elementary.
No, is that on his right or his left?
It was left.
Left hand?
I'm pretty sure it was a left-handed glove.
Okay.
And then the...
Why did you only have one? Did they ever explain that?
I think he may have sometime, but it was his thing. Until some snotty kid, I don't remember what his name was, it's Scott something or other, he came back with a better Michael Jackson glove than me, and it really pissed me off.
Well, you know, you start something like that, you better be ready for people to come at you with bigger and better.
His was way better.
I mean,
I remember him wearing
that's what
it.
We do.
I remember him wearing it out on the playground, and I'm not going to lie, I tried to bow up and pretend like mine was better. I knew. What am I supposed to do? Go home and tell my mom, hey, this glove sucks?
Like, yeah, you can't do that.
What are we doing, Ma?
You got to respect her.
Yeah, Scott Bayo's
glove. I need 2.0. Let's go.
It's way better.
The factory
than mine.
Started again.
Yeah, kind of hurt. I think that's what ended me wearing it, is I was kind of embarrassed about my glove. Mm. His was so much better than mine.
Tough life.
It was tough.
What a plight.
What are you going to do, man? I got out Michael Jackson'd. You probably had cooler Bugle Boys, too.
Well, we have Dan Lanning on today. He's the coach of the Ducks. He'll be on at 4. We missed him last week.
Yeah. Well, he was busy.
Yep.
I'm cooking on your grill.
He was busy gladiating with his thumb down.
Gladiating?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. What is the appropriate term? You saw the video, right?
Oh, I saw the video.
Yeah, it's going everywhere.
Everybody gets such a boner over those duck
they
videos.
Freak out.
Well, he is really good
to
watch behind the scenes. Mm-hmm.
I did kind of like the thumbs down
thing. Yeah.
I liked how he set it up on a Monday and he paid it off on a Saturday. Yeah, it's like fun. You guys with the story on a Monday and getting to it on a Friday. And it's like, hey, we finally paid off that tease. Look at that.
Did you guys hear him on the coach's show as you were driving out last night? Because he was on there right as we left the show.
No, I didn't hear.
So I had it on. They were asking him about that. Mm-hmm. And he said that, for the Michigan game in particular, mm-hmm. goes all the way back to summer. You remember when they had those offsite meetings?
Yeah.
In Bend or whatever?
Yeah.
And he mentioned somebody... And I don't remember the name, but somebody on his staff came up with that one. Oh. They already had that
holstered,
that whole theme and that whole mantra for Michigan week because they knew they were going to the Big House.
Sure.
They had Gladiator and just, you know, us against the world type of mentality. They had that holstered all the way back in July.
Huh. Well, I mean,
Isn't that wild?
He paid it off. It was excellent.
I mean, they have, because we asked him about this. So I think that's what Buck was referring to. We asked him about this a couple weeks ago. It's like, where do you come up with these themes every week? They're all very calculated. They're all very motivating. And they, every week, they create an us versus them that, I mean, teams that have way more reasons to create an us versus them can't even come up with.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they're number one. There's really no problems with them. They're not even that banged up.
No. No.
So how do you keep an edge? How do you keep motivated? Freaking Dan Lanning is a damn genius at it.
Yeah, they do a really, really nice job.
And so I am going to ask him now. Last time he did give us, and I forget what game it was. Michigan State. Oh, I think it was the pre-Illinois game.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him what his theme was. And
it was the Purdue one. He told
was
you.
It, Purdue?
It was boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. Be where you are. That's right.
Because it was like the first like real road trip of the season.
That's right.
That's right.
And so he said, I don't really like to reveal these, but I'll tell you. Well, I am going to try to talk him into telling us
what the next one is for.
What the Maryland one is for this week.
How are you going to? Okay, you're the number
crab one. Crab cakes
team.
And football. Nom, 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 nom.
You're the number one team. You have no problems.
Maryland.
It's freaking Maryland. You just got done winning at the Big House. You're the cock of the walk in college football. How do you get them rallied for this game?
I don't know. I don't know where you go with Maryland football.
Well, that's why we ask him.
That's why we ask the question. He'll probably
and I'm going to ask him.
He'll probably blow you off, but
he will.
You got to ask.
He will, but you know what? I'm gonna keep at him.
Yeah, the Michigan thing was cool. If you don't know what we're talking about, go on any social media platform, look up the Oregon Duck videos they post every week, and this one was gladiator themed of the emperor from the movie Gladiator deciding whether or not someone lives or dies, and it's the thumbs up, thumbs down, and he gives them. It's going to be thumbs down all day long,
and basically control the crowd, control the atmosphere.
And the best part of it is in the middle. He tells his players. He goes, at some point in the game, you're going to look up at the 110,000 people, and you're going to see them filing out of the stadium. And he's like, you did that. And then they obviously play the clip in the fourth quarter when all the Michigan fans are filing out. And Dan lands on the sidelines. Look at that.
He called a timeout to make him enjoy it. Right. 25 seconds left in the game. He said, get over here. Look at this. I told you this was going
to
happen.
It was that timeout right before they scored that last touchdown. Yep. And he pointed out to the
Everyone
players.
Leaving.
And they were all like, are you not entertained?
And they're doing the thumbs. I'm sorry.
Like, dude, it's great.
A lot of times I think some of that stuff, because I'm a bastard, and it's
believe
hard
me, football
it's,
is a cult.
Yes.
And it's really scary and dumb.
And it just rolls my eyes sometimes. But that, even my dark, cynical, anti-rah-rah heart, I was like, holy crap, that's awesome.
It was good.
That was good.
It was good.
Yeah. Well played.
So now what does he do? What's the encore performance?
Dude, I just don't know what you do for Maryland. I just don't know.
What if he says, well, we don't really have anything? You guys got any ideas?
I just wanted to be like Maryland.
You could only fire so many like really good shots, so no, we don't have anything holstered for this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing, too, is it doesn't really ever sound manufactured.
No.
It's always like,
it works.
It always makes sense and fits.
Yeah, the Ohio State one was the jabbing, the boxer, the jab.
It's a heavyweight fight, trust your jab, and then, in other words, don't like panic and you feel like you have to throw a knockout punch every punch. You don't. Just wait for your moment.
We will set it up and we'll throw our haymaker eventually.
Isn't that great for a big game where you know guys are going to be on tilt, you know?
I think it's easier to come up with big game ones than it is, no offense, for Maryland.
For sure.
You know, just saying. It's probably.
Makes this week's task so tough.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. You know this. This is some of Michael Jackson's finest. Finest works. And do you know why I'm playing this?
I don't know why.
For you
this.
Today on the radio?
No.
I do.
The two of us need look no more.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, this is old Jackson 5 stuff. This is like 12-year-old.
We were looking for.
I have to tell you. Well, it's kind of sad because Ben Kirk Herbstreit's golden retriever has passed away.
It's like the biggest news in all of college football somehow.
That dog. So Herbstreit takes that dog everywhere. That dog's with him in the booth. It's with him down on the field.
It's with him on the private jet.
The fans love it. He's on college game day. He's this great, great big old golden retriever. He passed today. Had to put him down.
And he did everything. That dog was getting like the best care. No human's gotten better care than that. And eventually,
well, he had cancer.
He had cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was 10. Lived a good life.
Yeah, was
only
10?
Yeah.
It's a good long run though.
Big dog.
It's a big dog. Man.
My golden lived to 11. Yeah, and those goldens don't really live that long.
10 years is a good run.
10's, it's borderline. Too short, but
borderline. Yeah, I think you get to 10, and you feel like that's a full life for you.
For the retrievers, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good run. Mm. Rest in peace, Ben.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Harambe and Ben.
Sorry for the pedophile music.
Really?
You gotta go there. I thought we were having a moment. Now my moment's ruined.
Let's listen to the rest of this. I want you to think about your doggies and give them big hugs and kisses.
Yeah. Little boops on their noses.
Little boops. Boopy doggies. We'll be back with our poll question next on The Fan. You sit there in your All right, coming up, I've got some point spreads, because we were asking about this yesterday. So I text a guy, a bookmaker guy, and he's given me point spreads on Oregon games against some of the better teams in college football.
Yeah, come playoff time?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Yeah, what would happen now?
Yeah, if they played today. So I've got that for you.
All right, I'm intrigued. Because, I mean, they're the undisputed right now. I mean, they got all 62 votes. They're the number one team in football. And I wonder...
I can tease what this. That would be. How many teams do you think they'd be an underdog against?
One.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that's Georgia.
You're going to find out.
Okay.
I would say two, Georgia and Ohio State. I think neutral site, Ohio State's a slight favorite.
Okay. That's coming up right now on X at 1080 The Fan. Our poll question, yesterday we asked you, which team would you most like to see miss the college football playoff just because?
Yeah. Is that a spite?
Alabama, 44%.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, 22%. Oregon, 18%. Ohio State, 16%.
Okay. Yeah. Alabama is still the villain.
Why? Right?
Well, just again, they're the Yankees of college football.
Not anymore.
Well, I mean, still, if Georgia...
Well, the Yankees hadn't won a World Series since, what, 2009? Yeah, and people are still against them this year.
That's true.
You're not 1 year. You don't, like, it's not even a season removed from Nick
They're
Saban.
The most recent big villain, still, yes. I think.
I mean, like, Georgia, I think, has won 56 straight games to teams not named Alabama. So if Georgia's the new villain...
Is that right?
Yeah. They have not lost in 56 games to
Who's
a team...
Who's the last team to beat them?
Was Alabama?
That wasn't Alabama.
I don't know. You'd have to look it up. But yeah, I believe it's 56 games. So, like, yeah. Wow. If Georgia's the new villain, well, guess who's the villain of Georgia? It's Alabama.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's it. It's the only one.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it turns out Kirby Smart and Georgia are pretty good. So, who they lost to again this year? Alabama. And we don't even think Alabama is that good this year, yet they still beat Georgia.
There were a bunch of graphics going around the internet about that record. I thought it was like 48-0, but it might be 56. And people are like, yeah, Kirby's 56-0. It's like saying you're sober 56 days except for the special occasions. I mean, when you lose the big ones.
Well, I mean, just everyone has the hurdle to overcome. I mean...
But he won back-to-back titles.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. Like, let's say the Bills or the Ravens get over the hump this year and win a Super Bowl. It's going to have to go through Kansas City because that's the bugaboo right now for that. Like, Josh Allen should have a Super Bowl, but he doesn't because of Patrick Mahomes, right? You know, the Baltimore Ravens last year probably were the best team in football, but they didn't get by Patrick Mahomes. And so it's, you know, you got to get over that hump. And Kirby eventually did it against Alabama, and yet it still kind of haunts him here and that he has a problem with
it. Is it
guys.
A lovely lady hump?
A lovely, no one even knows what that means, but it gets the crowd fired up.
Last time they lost to a team not named Alabama, Saturday, November 7th, 2020.
Yeah, that's a while back. Who'd they beat? Or I guess who beat them?
Was that the COVID year?
Florida. Yes, that was the COVID year. The only other
SEC
loss.
Didn't really care, though, I think.
Nah, they were like, eh.
The only other loss that year was to Alabama. And then if you don't count the COVID year, they did lose to LSU in the SEC championship game in 2019.
Would have been the Burrow year, right?
Yeah, they got smoked.
I mean, everyone got smoked that
year. That Joe Burrow team might be the best college football
especially
team
that I've offense. I mean, the defense was good, too, but that
defense
offense was
good, but that might be the best. I always said that that Miami team that should have gone back-to-back was the best college football team I've seen. Side note with the Tommy Frazier Nebraska Huskers, but that LSU team, it's hard for me to pick someone. Like, if you just gave me that team, you could put it against any college football team ever. I'm not betting against that offense. I mean, they demolished people. And
was that Orgeron?
No, that was... Was that? Yeah, that
I think
might
it was Orgeron.
That
might have been Ed.
How did he do that?
Well, he didn't do anything.
Well, I mean, they had the best players.
Do you know who was the head coach of that Miami team that I was talking about? Larry Coker. So
no, I know. Look, I'm just saying, like, how did they get all those great? Like, was he just that good of a recruiter?
He was always revered as an ace recruiter.
He was always a great recruiter. LSU paid a bunch of people, just like everyone else did. And it just was one of those where it was a confluence of events where, I mean, think about it. Joe Burrow was a cast-off. He couldn't get on. Urban Meyer made fun of Joe Burrow. And was like, told him, like, you will never play here. Well, Joe Burrow was like, cool, I'm going to go to LSU and just whoop your ass. And then you look at the receivers and the tight ends and the backs they had. I mean,
specifically the two best receivers in the NFL right now were on that team, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. I mean, just that alone. No one can guard either one of those dudes in the NFL. Now imagine some college kids out there trying to guard him. It's just, it's stupid.
Joe Burrow, 28 of 38, 349, four tutties.
that against...
Against Georgia.
Against Georgia, yeah. And I bet Clemson was just as bad.
Justin Jefferson, 7 catches, 115 yards.
Yeah.
And a teddy.
Yeah, he was...
you bet what was just as bad?
The Clemson game.
Oh.
I mean, it was over in like 2 seconds. I think Clemson scored once early and everyone was like, oh, we have a game. And then Joe Burrow and LSU were like, yeah, no, here's the gas and game. And then we had the infamous Joe Burrow smoking the cigar, which still might be, Joe Burrow might be the coolest dude to ever play college football. And he has that swagger. You know, and that was when like the legend was born.
Very Clemson, Joe Cool. Yeah.
Oh, so they beat Oklahoma. So they beat Georgia 37-10.
Yeah.
They beat Oklahoma in the semi. 63-28, and then they beat
Clemson. Was that Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma?
It's possible. That would have been around that, yeah. I would think either that or Baker.
No, Baker's older than that, right? Because of the stint in Cleveland, too? Like,
yeah, that's probably a Jalen Hurts, 5 years. Yeah.
Unless it was Kyler.
It was Hurts.
Hurts.
And Spencer Rattler got some time in that game.
They bitch slapped. And then what was Clemson?
42-25.
Yeah, and it wasn't that close.
Tight ball game.
No.
Let's see what the score was at half.
Yeah, LSU turns out very, very, very good.
Halftime, 28-17.
Oh, it's closer than I thought at the half.
And that would have been Trevi. Yeah,
that would have been Trevor Lawrence.
Trevi. Joe Burrow in that game, 31-49, 463, and 5 tutties.
Is that good?
Ja'Marr Chase, 221, 2 tutties. Justin Jefferson, 106.
Is that good? Is that, you know, just...
God!
That's pretty good, right?
Today's poll question.
Poll it.
On X, at 1080 The Fan, we're asking you, which dude hurts his team the most? Is it Antonio Pierce? He's the coach of the Raiders.
Oh, God, they're such a mess.
Daniel Jones, he's the quarterback of the Giants. Matt Eberflus, the coach of the Bears, or Mike McCarthy, the coach of the Cowboys?
I think it's Eberflus. I do. I think if you, because the Antonio Pierce, it doesn't matter. The Raiders are a mess. They don't have players. They don't have a quarterback. They just suck. It's one of the worst organizations in football. It's just whatever. So I don't care who you put in there. You could bring back John Wooden and it's not going to make a damn bit of difference. No one's doing anything with that Raider team. They suck. McCarthy? Yeah, but again, I think Dallas has more systemic problems. Daniel Jones certainly is an issue there in New York. They shouldn't be this bad. They shouldn't have paid him. But again, there's a mismanagement there. But Matt Eberflus has a really good GM. He has a talented roster. And I think Matt Eberflus is a bad coach. I think he's lost the locker room. I think he makes crappy offensive hires. He's a good defensive coach. I mean, the defense shows up and plays, but I think even the defense is starting to show cracks. And I think they are fundamentally regressing Caleb Williams in year one, which to me is the biggest sin you can have in a guy that looked like he could be a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying he can't anymore, but you have to be careful when you see a quarterback that was making progress and now that progress is going backwards. That's on you and the staff. And now you got DJ Moore out there being like, I don't think he's lost the locker room. Matt Eberflus needs to go. It needs to go now. If you're Chicago, even if they make a run here and they make the playoffs, Matt Eberflus is not the guy to lead that team with Caleb Williams. And that's a good team, roster-wise. And yet they're still 4-4, 500? So it's the answer to that is Eberflus.
Right now, Mike McCarthy leading the way.
Yeah, he just gets a lot of blame.
That
was he the one when they were winning 12-plus games?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there.
Yeah, that's not Mike McCarthy's fault.
Well, the listeners so far would beg to differ.
Yeah, we all love to pile on Mike McCarthy. And maybe Eberflus is just like, who the hell is Eberflus? And so it's just, I'm telling you, I watch way too much football, and you can win with Mike McCarthy. I'm not certain that you're going anywhere with Matt Eberflus.
All right, the Dan Lanning pregame show commences next. Which two teams would Oregon be an underdog against if they played today?
Well, there is two, yeah.
Here's Buck.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dan Lanning coming up at 4. This commences the Dan Lanning pregame show.
Love a good pregame.
Got some duck stuff here. Unless you'd like to talk about the Bengals and Ravens tonight. We were talking about Joe Burrow.
I am excited about that game.
Are you?
One, I really like Baltimore. Dude, their offense is so fun to watch. I mean, they are just absolutely cooking. Defense, and then Cincinnati was a team that everyone liked going into the year. And we thought this was going to be the Joe Burrow redemption year. And, boy, I'll tell you what. If you want to know how quickly windows close in the NFL, I give you Cincinnati. Because when they almost won that Super Bowl, I sat there and was like, dude, this team's only going to continue to get better. They're young, and they've got a really bright coach. They've got a good defensive coordinator, and there's just talent across the board. I'm like, all they need to do is shore up the O-line, and they're going to be good for a long time. And you thought they would make some additions to the defense, and it's just not. When you look at this thing, I mean, it is essentially Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. There is not a more hero ball situation in the NFL right now than what Cincinnati has going on. And I mean, this is a must-win game for them. I mean, when you look at Cincinnati, I mean, what was it last week when they won big and Joe Burrow was like, what does it matter? He goes, until we start stringing games together, you think I'm going to get excited about one game? Joe Burrow knows what he's up against. They're 4-5 right now. I mean, you just...
They need this one.
They need this one. I mean, this is a monster game, and you have a defense right now that is an absolute sieve. I mean, and it's weird because not only do they have hero ball on the offensive side of things, their defense essentially, especially their front seven, it's one man. Like, they have no pass rush. But they have Trey Hendrickson, who's been absolutely phenomenal. And outside of that, there's just nothing. And so you look at what this Cincinnati team was a couple of years ago. Someone, you know, the last man in, turn off the lights. I mean, you have three star players. It's a little bit kind of like the Dallas Cowboys, right? When Dallas had that, when they had like a really top heavy roster, except I actually think Dallas's roster was deeper than what Cincinnati's is. And by the way, T. Higgins is probably gone next year. I mean, this is not a serious contending team. They're just not. It can be a good team because they can score a lot of points.
We always overrate teams that go to the Super Bowl.
Yes, we do.
You know,
but I really thought that this team would continue to build and add pieces.
Well,
but
it's because they have a franchise quarterback. I mean, yes. It's hard to look at them and go, wow, they and say they're not in good hands.
Yeah.
But it takes more than just the quarterback.
Yeah. And so, you know, you look at some of the close games that they've lost. You know, they could have had, remember Kansas City at the beginning of this?
Yeah, didn't they take him to overtime, or was that?
I don't remember if it was overtime.
Right? It was the last second.
It was right down at the end. Yeah, I mean, it was 26-25.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs kicked a last second field goal to win that game.
Yeah, so they've lost by one possession to New England. They've lost by 1 point to the Chiefs. They lost by one possession, 5 points to the Commanders.
Yeah, the Chiefs was the one that had the controversial. They stopped on fourth down, but they had the pass interference.
That's right.
A field goal against a Baltimore, and then the Philly bludgeoned them. So it's like they're right there, and yet you just look at it, and it just goes to show you what bad organizations do. And Cincinnati has been a bad organization, but we thought because you hit on some of these home runs, right? When you had Boyd and Higgins and Burrow and you had Mixon and you had Jesse Bates and you had Hendrickson, like it just looked like this thing was going to be great and was going to be a Kansas City Buffalo Ravens sort of thing. And I just think you see the difference between good organizations and bad organizations. And I, as close as they are, I don't think that this is a Cincinnati team that can really truly be a contender the way it's assembled right now. But if they win this, which with that defense against this Ravens offense, again, Joe Burrow basically has to be perfect. And I just think in a league, if you need your quarterback to be 28 of 38 for 356 and four touchdowns just to be in the game at the end, I mean, I'll bet you if we took a look at I'll pull up one of their losses, like that loss to the Ravens, right? 41-38. Let's look and see. And I
that was a good game.
Yeah. I just want to look at this. Yeah, so they lost a game that Joe Burrow went 30 of 39 for 392 and 5 effing touchdowns.
Well, if you want
that's shameful.
If you want hope for tonight, Baltimore's pass defense has not been good. Didn't they just get the kid from the Rams?
Yeah, who basically got benched in LA. Yeah.
I mean, I think they're like 28th against the pass. Yeah, so you could get some points tonight. Yeah. Could be fun.
But that's my point. You can't. So that loss against the Commanders, 29 of 38, 324, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and a quarterback rating of 127, and they're losing games. If I'm Joe Burrow, I go into the front office, kick open that door and be like, what the hell are we doing? And now we're going to get rid of T. Higgins probably? Like, it's bad.
Well, guys, that is not the Ducks pregame show.
No, it is not. That's the...
Or, I mean, Dan Lanning pregame show.
Thursday football.
Yeah!
Yeah. You had thoughts?
Well, I really like Joe Burrow, and I really liked that Cincinnati team, and I just... I'm okay with it. It's not good.
They still have good uniforms.
Yeah, I like when they do the shocker. I like when they do the whats.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, when they do the Siberian, I guess, would that be the Siberian Tigers?
But up next is the Dan Lanning pregame show. Which two teams would Oregon be an underdog against? I have the numbers on the fan. All right, Dan Lanning coming up. 10 minutes. He always calls on time, so this will be a short one. But I did, I hit up our sports betting bros, and they're from sportsbetting.ag, and they gave me some numbers. I asked them to give me the point spreads if Oregon were to play these teams today. Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Boise State, BYU, and Miami.
Okay.
So I have all, six of those here. Oregon would be an underdog in two of those games, believe it or not, even though they're the number one team.
Well, Georgia's going to be one, and then I thought maybe it was just Georgia, but Buck guessed Ohio State, and I can see that on a neutral field.
That's right. Ohio State, -2.
See, I think I would have thought that right after the Oregon game, but the O-line situation bothers me, and I know supposedly they got it fixed against Penn State, but you know how I feel about Penn State. Not a huge fan, and... If Penn State just scores on any of their red zone possessions and isn't the worst red zone team I've ever seen, Ohio State loses. I'm not certain that this version of Ohio State with that O-line, I'm not certain that they beat Oregon on a neutral field, but I would have believed that. If you had told me right after that game, you put that a week from when they played on a neutral field, I would have taken Ohio State, but not convinced.
And by the way, this is confirmed information. I'm number one against the spread.
Yeah. Bah!
Bah! I'd love confirmed.
I'd love to go 5-0.
We're going to hear that today.
Oh, we are.
Thursday night Thursday special. Night.
John Anthony.
Side Anthony.
I'm a fraud. what do you think the Georgia line is?
I'm going to say, so that you said it's they're underdogs by 2 or 2.5, you said?
To who?
To Ohio State.
Two.
I'm going to say Georgia, it's going to be 3.
Georgia -1.5.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So they believe that Ohio State is the toughest game for Oregon.
Huh.
Then I've got Texas here. If Oregon played Texas, what would the spread be?
I'm going to say Oregon favored by 2.
Oregon favored by 1.
1.
So all very close.
Yeah.
Three others. If Oregon played Miami, what would be the spread?
I'm going to say the Ducks by 6.5.
Exactly 6.5.
Boom.
Oregon, BYU.
Yikes. I'm going to say the Duckies by 10.
11.
11.
And Oregon, Boise State.
That's interesting because, boy, Boise State game all they could handle. They should have beat Oregon.
Do we know what the line? I got to go look it up. The first line.
I think it was 17, I'm not mistaken. It was more than 2 touchdowns. I'm going to still say, even though that game was as close as it can be, I'm going to still say Oregon by 14.
They've got that one at
maybe 13 and a half.
13 and a half.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good there. You know what? Maybe I have confirmed information.
Fine, Jason Sakanek.
I want to go 5-0. But if I don't, the season is not free. Pay me anyways. $200 for my picks.
Yeah, Oregon was -17.5 against Boise the first time.
Yeah. That's interesting because we still don't give Boise respect, and I get why, but... And this Oregon team certainly looks better. I mean, think about that. Boise State had them on the ropes, with the exception of if Boise State just kicks the ball out of bounds, Boise State wins that game. And yet we're still going to make them three-score dogs. I'd be careful with that.
Who would you rather play, BYU or Boise?
I honestly think I'd rather play BYU. Because like, I've seen Boise, and I know BYU athletically is better than Boise. But I've seen Boise, and I mean, I don't know how else to put it. They took you to the wire. And I've seen BYU, and BYU's good. Veteran quarterback, veteran team, play solid. They're not great at anything. They're not bad at anything. I don't know. I guess I'll just take the team that is playing close games and finding ways to win versus the team that's kind of bitch slapping everybody and took you to the wire. So I know that's weird, but I would rather play the Mountain West team than I would the Big 12 team, but I think I would.
A couple of other numbers. Dan Lanning's piling up some numbers here.
Yeah.
None of this really matters all that much, but from their notes, they said that Oregon has now scored 30 or more in 22 of the last 23 games.
Yeah, their offense is quite good.
Under Dan Lanning, they are 22-0 when scoring first. They are 28-1 under Dan Lanning when leading at half, the only loss being the Oregon State game.
Yeah.
Under Dan Lanning, they are 23-0 when giving up 24 or fewer points. So that's interesting. Yeah. So to beat them, you got to get into the 30s.
Yeah. You got to get into that shootout.
And then Dylan Gabriel is just three starts from tying, maybe two starts now, from tying Bo Nix for the most all time. And he has two touchdowns from passing Case Keenum for the most all time.
Huh. So when it's all said and done, we're going to have two Oregon quarterbacks basically own some serious records, even though they pretty much set all those at other schools. I guess Bo was there 2 years. That's not.
Well, look, it's amazing that Oregon will have had in back-to-back years the two most experienced quarterbacks in college football history.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
It is crazy.
They're going to go get Shedeur Sanders next year.
Does he have a bunch of starts? Like, who's the next most? They should go get the guy who's.
I'll look it up.
Carson Beck have eligibility?
Yeah, he might be coming back with his draft stock the way it is.
No kidding. Dan Lanning joins us next on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.